My dude, lock in to the show Doing It for the Culture, the Surround Sound Podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Whenever and however you're watching this, thank you for tuning in to the latest edition of the Surround Sound Podcast. I am your host, R. Hunter Jr., the truth and not a rumor. In a few moments, I will bring on my guest, Crystal Wadlington, a.k.a. Crystal the Creative. She is an illustrator and art teacher from Kansas City, Missouri, and we'll be talking about some of her educational materials, the why, the how, and all of those things. On today's show, we will get into a myriad of different topics. Of course, current events will be one of them. We'll be talking about the simmering rivalry between Beyonce and possibly Erykah Badu. Also, Issa Rae will be on tap, as well as Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani, and the Kansas City Royals inducting Bo Jackson into their Hall of Fame. Also, of course, since we're talking to Kansas City's very own, we'll have to get into speaking about the Kansas City Chiefs, and quite possibly we'll give a little bit of information in regard to the parade. Also, on this week's show, we'll be telling you the importance of history. I have a very significant sign of the times entitled Historical Importance. But enough of talking. We have a very special guest. Our guest this week has taught art and illustration for over 14 years. Currently, she is an educator at Kansas City Public Schools Signature School, an African-centered college prep school focused on African and African-American studies history. Today, we have our very special guest, Crystal Wadlington, a.k.a. Crystal the Creator.
Hey, everybody. How you doing today?
Hey, what's good, Crystal? How you living, Ma?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, I'm absolutely awesome. I cannot complain at all. I've been waiting and wanting to do a interview with you for the longest. I think what you're doing, you live up to your name. It is so creative. It's so ingenious. It is something that is needed and wanted, not just by African-Americans, but America in general. And this is definitely a good way for that to happen. You've been teaching art for 14 years.
Yes. Well, actually, I kind of interrupted that. I started in Memphis. So when it was Memphis City Schools.
Yeah, Glow.
Yeah. So I was at Rains Haven Elementary.
Yeah.
And I taught there until they closed in 2010. No, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So then I moved to Kansas City and I actually started teaching second grade. So I went from art to teaching second grade in 2016 when I moved up here to Kansas City. And then I taught in the classroom for 4 years and I went back to art. But the whole time I've been here in Kansas City, I have been teaching at the African Center College Prep, which helped me create my books because of what we do there.
Okay. Since we're there, tell us more about what you do there and how that transformed. And then we'll get into how this transformed into your coloring book series.
Okay. So when I started teaching there in 2016, I was teaching second grade. But the African Center School is modeled around pretty much centering the African child into African and African-American history. So we teach the history, but it's infused in everything we teach. So if we're learning math, we're talking about African-American studies. So, for example, we can be teaching about the civil rights movement, and you can take information from the civil rights movement and incorporate it into making a graph or making word problems or things like that. So we pretty much infuse African and African-American history in all of our curriculum. They also teach centered they use it in Guzo Saba. So they use like those rules, and we, you know, work as a village. A lot of those different principles that we teach throughout the whole entire school. So when I was in a classroom, I was teaching African, African-American studies. Then I go to art. It's pretty much the same. So, and then each month we have a theme that we center around. So for example, when we first get back to school, we're talking about the African diaspora. So we're teaching kids about where we came from, what was brought over here from Africa, how we influenced the culture, you know, things like that. Then we go into talking about Marcus Garvey, the Black Seminoles, Kwanzaa. So each month is something different.
Woo! That is awesome. That is an awesome way to open the show, young lady. That is dope. That is dope. Some of those names, Black Seminoles, Marcus Garvey, W.E.B. Du Bois, Benjamin Banneker. I heard those terms. I heard those terms of those names, but I really didn't get a good grasp of why they were so important to later in life and to be infusing our children with those things as early as possible is truly, truly remarkable. I don't know where I want to go next. Let's go here. Why is it so ingenious? Let me put my words on you. I feel like this book series, this coloring book series, is one of the most ingenious things that I've heard of in a long time. Why is it so important that we start at such a base level with our children in giving them history about African and African-Americans?
I think is important to start. And I think back to when I was in school, you may be different because you grew up in Memphis where you have a lot of Black teachers and, you know, surrounded by the culture. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Kansas City, in Grandview, actually. Okay. I never had a Black teacher. So it was like when we learned about our history, it was pretty much we came as slaves, and then Martin Luther King came and we had civil rights. And that's it. We didn't learn about anything else. We didn't have that that being able to see other people that look like us, to have type of pride in your skin tone, pride in how your hair looks, and things like that. There was pretty much one way of thinking how Black people should be, you know, and it was a lot of, and then also at that time, Africa was looked at as this poor, horrible place to be, you know. Exactly. So I feel like in order to kind of squash those stereotypes and also to squash the idea of I come from this horrible place, we had these horrible experiences here, I don't see anybody that looks like me, you know, that we need to instill in them that there's a whole lot more to your history than just Dr. King, slavery, and civil rights. Even though you do need to learn about that, when you think about Africa, I know when we was growing up, we thought about the Ethiopians because that's what we saw on TV. Mm-hmm. But now in one of my books, you can learn about the African kings and queens and that we come from a continent that had the most natural resources than any place. You know, we had kings, we had empires, we had queens, you know, that fought against these other nations and things like that. And I think that's just important just to instill in our children and adults, because I didn't learn a lot of this stuff till I started teaching at the school. I was in my mid-30s. That it kind of boosts your confidence in who you are, who you were created to be, that you didn't come here by accident, that you didn't come from. We had slavery that interrupted our history. We're not the product of just slavery, you know, and it's a lot of that mindset that you come from something greater. And so that even though my present situation may not be what I want it to be, I can achieve more.
Crystal, did I write it wrong? I thought you were a teacher. Should I have put a preacher?
My dad would love to hear that, but no.
But not quite. Not quite.
No.
What you said is spot on. I actually see your books, some of your books in the back. Let's look at, if you have this one behind you, the Bold Leader series. Okay. Could you show us real quick just to so we can see the front cover possibly?
Okay, so which one? You want to start with the first?
Yeah, let's start with the first Bold Leader series. I want to hear more about why you picked certain leaders to go into your book. Like, what was the thought process? Like I said, you mentioned Garvey, you mentioned MLK. I'm sure you may have Malcolm X in there somewhere. W.E.B., Benjamin Banneker, as I've stated earlier. How do we put certain people in? And you know what? Also, speaking of leaders, Shirley Chisholm, since we're still in International Women's Month, how do you pick who is going in?
I picked people in my book that little known, like people may not know that much about.
Okay.
Like, and I'm thinking about children. So I do have in my book Malcolm X. I have Rosa Parks. And of course I have Dr. King.
Uh-huh.
But I also have people like Fannie Lou Hamer.
All right.
And Megan Everett.
And famous civil rights guy. Yeah.
One of my personal favorites, Mary McLeod Bethune, because she was an educator. And excellent. Hold on. Memphis's own Ida B. Wells. So
that's right.
People that may not be that known about. And then I do have Shirley Chisholm. And then this one I included on purposely, the creators of the Black Panther Party, because I remember growing up, it was either you went with Dr. King or you was for Black Panther. But what we did not realize is that they were kind of in conjunction. They had different tactics, but pretty much the same thing. And of course, someone that I learned a lot about writing this is Stokely Carmichael, you know. And one thing that I did learn as I've been researching is that Rosa Parks was a big supporter of Stokely Carmichael and a big supporter of the Black Panther Party. Like, I did not know that, but she was. So that's who's in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And
how many of this series do you have?
I have 4 books in this series right now.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I say right now because I have more that I want to do.
That's right. As history goes on and life goes on, you're going to have more people that you want to put in there. So I definitely understand that. When we think about history, I'm just looking at my notes here. As a means of access, I know the saying is you learn from history so you're not doomed to repeat those same mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
What is your view in regard to that?
I mean, I agree with that statement. My view of history, I look at it as far as just pretty much knowing where you come from, especially for kids, because I feel like we have a lot of kids who are just here. Mm-hmm. They don't really understand that they have a purpose, and they don't really understand that the gifts that they have, God can use in any way. And by learning about people in the past and just knowing that God can use you in any way, you know, to be bold and to stand up for what is right and what you believe in and things like that. Like, just learning about these people that use the natural gifts that they had to be able to make change, I feel like, and just have a purpose. Because sometimes I see a lot of kids, they're just here, you know, just going through life. They have no reason for doing the things that they can't tell you why they do the things they do or don't do. And I just feel like this kind of gives them somebody to look up to that.
That's an excellent segue. That's an excellent segue into the next series of books that you have. Now, I also see that you have, you know, Kwanzaa books and, you know, those type. But I hear that you're working on a book for boys and girls in regard to affirmations.
Yes.
In dealing with the spiritual side of them. So you mm-hmm. were working on the history, the mental, and now the spiritual and affirmations as well.
Yes. So this was actually going to be my first book when I first mm-hmm. started going to coloring books. But I just wasn't ready to do it. I did this series first. But this book, it just pretty much just kind of teaches kids, like I said, about that purpose, about who they are, that they're here for a reason. But it also backs it with Bible verses. So you, okay. I mean, we can sit here and tell a child, well, be confident. And it's like, why do I need to be confident? Or be bold. Why do I need to be bold? And so, or you're special. You know, like I talk to kids all the time, be like, do you know how talented and special you are? And they'll be like, there's nothing special about me. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So, and these are elementary kids, and they really believe this, because, you know, you'd be surprised at what some of these kids deal with. So just to back it with scripture and just say, you here for a reason. God tells us this. And so then you can be this. You know, so that's pretty much the book. So it's going to be the same affirmations, the same scriptures backing each affirmation. But mm-hmm. one book is just going to be for little girls and one is going to be for boys. So it'll just be two different, different illustrations.
You just don't know how much that warms my heart. You're literally saying, I am going to change our future. I am going to make it better than what I see currently. And that is truly, truly dope.
Up next on the Surround Sound Podcast, enjoy the Surround Sound Double Play. From just some of them ask me when we get it from. I told them no, it's from creation. I told them no, it's from creation. Bam bam, hey yo, what a bam bam, bam bam dilang, bam bam bam, bam bam dilang, bam bam bam, hey, what a bam bam, ta what a bam bam. This woman never trouble.
MC is my ambition. I come be nice and charming. People don't use our music to get high. They use our music to get by.
Break!
The flavor and the 411, keep it locked to the Surround Sound Podcast.
We are here with Kansas City Public Schools illustrator and art teacher, Crystal Wadlington, aka Crystal the Creative. Go ahead, please look her up on all socials at crystal.the.thecreative. Just Google it, and I'm sure you'll see her on Facebook, on Instagram, and many others as well. Crystal, I cannot let you come on this show, sister, and not talk about sports. You come from a great sports town, historical-wise and currently. First up, Major League Baseball. Now, before I get to how it hits home with you, Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter are embattled in a what looks like something that could be really catastrophic to the LA Dodgers in regard to gambling and possible theft of Shohei Ohtani's money from his interpreter that has, since this story came out, has been fired.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball is still investigating to see if Mr. Ohtani had any doings in this. Well, back in the day, there was a guy that could literally run on walls like he was Spider-Man. He played football. He played baseball. His name is Bo Jackson, and he's getting inducted into the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame. As a kid, what did Bo Jackson mean to you? Almost in a creative sense.
I mean, I remember, like, I had to be about 8, 9, maybe. Uh-huh. I do remember hearing about him. I never got to see him play, but he just made baseball exciting because this might make some people mad, but to me, baseball is kind of boring. So,
some would say
he made it exciting to watch.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, you know, I come from a basketball family, so I'm okay. used to the movement and the thing. So Bo Jackson made it exciting to watch. And I do recall, like, at that time, the police officers used to have these baseball cards that they would, you know, ride around. They would give out to the kids and things like that. You know, and I just remember everybody wanted that Bo Jackson. I don't know anybody that ever got it, but that was like the goal when they would hand them out, was like, you got Bo Jackson? No, you got Bo Jackson. You know, and it was just exciting to just be able to see your city just
on that national stage like that.
On the national stage like that, especially with his commercials, the Bo Knows commercials, things like that. But as far as like in a creative sense, just him being able to come in and just be who he is and still make an impact, which, you know, kind of goes with my mission. Just, you know, you be who you are so you can make an impact. You know, true. I was one of them kids. I was really quiet.
Uh-huh.
And I always felt like, oh, I got to learn how to talk to people. And there's no, you know, God can use that anyway. Just like Bo Jackson probably went in, they probably told him, you running up walls and you will, you know. But he used it and made the impact that he made. So, you know, that's kind of how I feel in a creative sense. Just kind of showing you just use what you have, you know, in whatever arena that you're in.
No doubt. Bo Jackson, and this is how it relates back to Memphis. Bo Jackson, when he was coming through the minor leagues, he played for what was then called the Memphis Chicks. So that's a full circle moment right there. But yeah, Bo Jackson was awesome. To play with him on a video game just really showed his awesomeness. Weird how I'm going to correlate that to that. But playing with him when he was with the Los Angeles Raiders in football, and then on baseball games as well, he was just just an absolute beast out there, and the precursor to athletes like Charlie Ward, Deion Sanders, these multiple sport athletes that can do more than one thing. Coming up in a second, we're going to talk more about the entertainment. Got hip hop and the feds. One of your favorites, Issa Rae. We're going to also talk about Beyonce. And real quick, Glorilla. Glorilla was on CNN. And she said something. I just want to mention this. She said a phrase that is forever be embedded in my memory banks. She said, and I quote, "At the end of the day got to end."
Well, that sounds like something the old people say in Memphis.
Exactly.
But it's true, though.
Exactly.
It's true.
And I'm just happy that Glorilla stayed in her lane. She was on CNN. They kind of slid something in there. They wanted her to talk a little bit of politics, but she was like, nah, I'm going to stay
I saw a video of her and Joe Biden.
Yes.
And had him saying, yeah, Joe. And I was like, that is so catchy. Like, they really need to, that needs to be like one of his songs at his next rally, like to remix. That'll be
I said last week, I'm all for Joe and Glow for 24. I'm all for that. Next up, the NFL has voted to oust the hip drop tackle as far as in rules to make the league more safer. Also, the NFL has radically revamped the kickoff rules to improve safety, but also to increase exciting and fun play. That's courtesy of NBCNews.com. Your Kansas City Chiefs are on the top of the mountain and have been at least since 2020.
Absolutely.
What does Patrick Mahomes mean to Kansas City, to the city, to the community right now? He's getting into that Michael Jordan stratosphere right now, in my respect. What do you think?
This goes back. I think it's like as a native Kansas City, and we appreciate Patrick Mahomes because for a long time, the Kansas City Chiefs they were horrible. I mean, I'm not going to say it was horrible, but they just could not make it past a certain point. It was like constantly disappointed, you know, things like that. So just being able to just come from that to be like back-to-back Super Bowl champs, like that's amazing. Like, it's crazy. And then like seeing people like my dad, who's like in his mid-60s, he's been watching the Chiefs since he was probably a teenager. I don't know when the Chiefs, how old he was when they first started, but just watching the Chiefs that long and just seeing his excitement about it and seeing a lot of the older people that have been through so much with the Chiefs, that their excitement is like just priceless. But it was great. It's good to see it. And, you know, just being able to get a Super Bowl. Like, if you would have told the people in Kansas City this probably 20 years ago, we probably would have laughed at y'all. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that would be nice. But we would probably just like, yeah, we might win one. But to win three and two of them back to back?
Yeah. 3 and 4 years. I remember those 90s.
It's amazing.
I'm sorry?
I said the vibe here is just amazing when it comes to the Chiefs.
Speaking of vibe, I hate to ask this question. I hate that it happened, and I hate that I have to ask this question. But I'm in the news field, and I get paid to ask tough questions. Speaking of the Chiefs and the success and the vibe in the city, we had a situation in the Kansas City parade, and I am so happy that you and your kids and your family were not subject to any of the nonsense that happened during the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade. But from the best that you can, you know, articulate to us, what was the sentiment what has been the sentiment around the city in regard to the shooting that happened at the Kansas City Super Bowl parade?
I think, you know, everybody's just has this feeling of like coming together. Like, that's kind of been the sentiment of it.
Coming together.
Pretty much coming together and just supporting each other, like the people that were there. And then the lady that got killed, which is just horrible. She was a popular DJ here in the Latino community, and just they, you know, just been honoring her life and just showing things about her and things. So just, you know, my heart goes out to her family and what they're having to deal with. And just knowing that a day that started out just so great. I mean, it was just like, it was a really, it was a nice day. It was warm. I mean, it started out a little cold, but it was warm. It was nice. Like, we were down there on the parade route. And it was like everybody was just getting along. Everybody was, you know, celebrating and everything. And I'm just thankful because I wanted to go to the stage where everything happened. And it was, you know, I had my youngest son with me. My two oldest weren't there, and my sister. And then, you know, we went down there because, like I said, my dad, this would have been his first parade because the other parades were just way too cold. So, and my sister was like, no, it gets too rowdy. We don't want to take kids. So we set up along the parade route, and everything was just going good. And then just to know that something like this happened that didn't have to happen over something silly, you know, it was just, from the reports that I hear and everything, was just, I guess, an argument. And it was just something so senseless that changed a lot of people's lives. You know, and just knowing that there were children that were hurt is just horrible. But
to your point, it definitely has changed lives. I was looking at a news report in regard to Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati and Kansas City are not in any way connected, other than, you know, NFL teams. But I truly feel like what happened in Kansas City directly is affecting Cincinnati, because they usually have a very big firework celebration during the 4th of July, and they are canceling it for this year and for the foreseeable future because they said it's gotten so big that they have a hard time securing it for everyone. And with situations like that that have happened in our near future, I'm sorry, in our recent past, yeah, that is something that we definitely have to be mindful of.
Yeah.
Chris Jones re-signed. Of course, Patrick Mahomes is still there. Andy Reid is what I call the best NFL head coach currently, with the retirement or the moving on of Bill Belichick. To listen to Patrick Mahomes at the end of the year and during the parade, looks like he's going for a three-peat. What you think?
I mean, we can do it. I support that. Go for a three-peat. Yeah.
I ain't mad at that one. That would be amazing. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that would be amazing. We all behind that three-peat.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I ain't mad at that. I ain't mad at that right there. Let's go to the political front really quick. Speaking of tough fights, it means it's time for the one mo. And the one mo usually comes from the political front. Most times it's solely from President Biden. Uncle Joe, Stimmy, 46, a.k.a. Cocaine Wayne. Well, Vice President Kamala Harris toured a Planned Parenthood clinic in Minnesota on this past Thursday, becoming what is believed to be the first president or vice president ever to visit a clinic that provides abortion services in U.S. history. My question for you, Crystal Wadlington, a.k.a. Crystal the Creative, when it comes to body positivity and women's images in an artistic space, and when I say artistic space, I mean publications as far as magazines, newspapers, film, TV, the internet, what would you like to see more of, and what would you like to see less of?
Huh.
I threw a curveball. I did. It was like an 11th hour question. I was like, you know what? I wonder what Crystal feel about this.
I mean, we have this whole thing as far as like, I can dress how I want and it shouldn't matter. And I would like to see less of that. I don't know how to put this. I would like to see more of women just being more mindful of the image they put out there.
Okay.
Because. Okay.
Speak to that. I want to hear that. Go forward.
Because a lot of what I'm seeing is, and I'm talking about like mostly singers and things like that. It's just a lot of
everybody naked and got see-through clothes on.
A lot of that. You know, everybody has their own way of expressing themselves and things like that. That's fine. That's you. But I have just always been taught, just think about the message that you're sending.
Amen. You know,
and think about who's looking at you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think a lot of our young girls don't realize that, especially in this day and age with social media and the internet and images that live forever,
true,
that sometimes you gotta have that thought, you know, that sexy isn't always just let me show as much skin as possible.
This is true.
You know,
because men are gonna like you regardless if you have on a snowsuit. We're gonna be like, man, she's picking that snowsuit.
Yeah, you don't have to show everything to get attention. And I think a lot of, you know, especially with us women, it's like we always say, well, it's my body and I, you know, I want to do this and this and you shouldn't think of me a certain way. But then you put the image out there that makes people think of you a certain way, you know, and it's like, I'm not saying you got to walk around with a turtleneck and a skirt down to your ankles, but you do have to think about the image you putting out there. Is this the image you want to put out there? And also where you are.
Fine line between modesty and
Yeah. And like you, it can be done tastefully. And I think a lot of things I see is just not done tastefully.
You said a lot right there. You said a lot right there because you said images lasting forever. Mm-hmm. There was a movie that came out last Thursday, The Freaknik Doc on Hulu. I haven't watched it yet. I hadn't had time. You saw it?
I did.
That was that. I mean, what you said is so true because it's a lot of people that are judges, political figures, even pastors that are at ATL or other places.
Yeah, grandmothers.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. You can take it from there. Go ahead.
No, I will say this on the documentary when they did show some of the images that were not tasteful, they did blank the person's face out.
They did. Okay.
Yeah, okay. On a lot of them, they did blank the person's face out. But there you do have to think about that now. Then it was like, you know, people had camcorders, but who was gonna see it? Because you didn't have the internet. But
I'm going to say right now, in the next 10, 15 years, they ain't going to blank your face out.
No, they won't. It'll be posted and they take a picture.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm hearing a lot about how, you know, when you go for jobs and things, they looking you up on social media.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying you can't have fun, but... You gotta think about those things, you know? And I'm thinking more on the end of I teach.
That's that mama coming out right there.
Yeah, that's the mama coming out. But I mean, I teach young girls. I teach, my school is kindergarten through eighth. So I do teach middle school girls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hard to sometimes get them to understand, you know, you gotta think about what you're putting out there. You know, you can't just pop off all the time. You can't just put this up. You can't say this, even though you want to. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a saying that, like, with my business, and I'm going to be making some shirts soon. It's where I have, it's off of 2 Timothy 1:7, and it's, you know, the guy has not given us spirit of fear, but a power, love, a sound mind. So I say, like, be bold, show love. But that last part, have a sound mind, make wise choices. And I think a lot of times we make choices in the moment of how we feel that are not wise choices. And that, you know, kind of goes along with a lot of what's being put out there. You got to make wise choices and think about more than just right now.
Most definitely.
That comes with age. Yeah. You know, you learn that. I may not have thought this way at 21, but, you know.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. Don't make permanent decisions off of temporary feelings or thoughts. Exactly. And I'm definitely a proponent of what you're speaking of right there.
Yeah, boy. It's the Surround Sound Podcast, baby.
I can make you put your phone down. 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 Cruise through the city. I can make you put your phone down. You ain't gon' text no one when you with me. I can make you put your phone down.
Oh yeah, baby, sucking clit while you rubbing on my head, baby. As it leaks down your thigh, oh God, you're going crazy. Chachi read the doggy, doggy, no rabies. Won't come until you do. I'm so waiting, but this feeling inside me is impatient. Yeah, I'ma let loose, you keep doing that shit. Put you all out of business, where you moving at? You pass rough, you had a thing for them bitch niggas. Now you hitting goals with a rich niggas. Getting lit, flipping hoes with a rich nigga. Lit quicker, dick thicker, that's my extortion. Public enemy, that's why I wear a vest for. Ask Lay, who is plug on the West Coast? Let me be real, it's go time once I pop this pill, bitch.
I can make you put your phone down.
make it, I can make it, I can make it. Put your phone down. I can make it, put your phone down. I can make it, I can make it, I can make it. Put your phone down. I can make it, put your phone down. I can make it, I can make it, I can make it. Put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down. Let me cruise through the city. I can make you put your phone down. You ain't gonna text no one when you with me. I can make you put your phone
down. Snapchat me that. Yeah, that be that. But my girl check my phone, but not DMs. Hey, yeah. Broadcast me that.
Why?
Yeah, that be that.
Why?
But my girl check my phone, but not DMs.
Why?
Little moon. Who the fuck is this? Hitting me at 10:56 in the evening on a weekday, yeah. Bitch, is you crazy? You was just a layer, now y'all got me with my lady. Yeah, baby, that was just an old friend. By the time she started sighing, say, look, here we go again. Here we go again. Here we go again. Once she learned that password, me and her was past tense. Hate a long talk, love a long text. Good conversation, got better sex. Let me illustrate you, baby, and taste your finesse. Got me inbox, I ain't messaged you yet.
Yeah. I can make it, I can make it, I can make it. Put your phone down. I can make it, put your phone down. I can make it, I can make it, I can make it. Put your phone down. I can make it, put your phone down. I can make it, I can make it, I can make it. Put your phone down. I can make it, put your phone down.
As we move into the entertainment report, first, T-shirt Tuesday. I do have on my Fisk University polo back from the time when I was working in the Fisk Sports Information Department. Mm-hmm. And also, this would be a great time to let you know again who we have on the show. Her name is Crystal the Creative. She is an art and illustration teacher, but more importantly, an illustrator of a amazing series of African-American and African-centered books, coloring books. And she teaches at KCP's Signature School. It's an African-centered college prep school, K-8, as she has already mentioned. And also they focus on African and African-American history. As we go into the entertainment portion of today's show, hip hop is crazy right now. Diddy, they looking for that man. Russell Simmons.
No.
I'm gonna have to talk more about Diddy next show. Russell Simmons got served some papers, and they trying to put a lawsuit against him for some sexual misconduct, and that's courtesy of ashowbiz.com. If you want more on that information or the next story that I'm about to say, make sure you go to facebook.com/surroundsoundpodcast and you can hear more about that. But thirdly, Cardi B, she said she plans on suing the LAPD following an incident at her home earlier this month, where she says they made her take her clothes off.
What?
Like, it's wild. That's courtesy of hiphopdx.com.
Hmm.
In regard to hip hop, what would you? And I'm like, I know that you're a big SZA fan. I know you're a big R&B fan. You're a big her fan. But when I say hip hop, I don't just mean rap. I'm incorporating neo soul, R&B, and rap music into this question. Where do you want to see hip hop go? Or what do you think about hip hop currently?
Currently, I don't even know. It's
tell us about who you do like then. What do you like about SZA and her in regard to the other stuff that's going on in music today?
With them, I like their like their artistry, kind of like their lyrics. I listen a lot to lyrics. So if it doesn't make sense to me, then I probably won't like the song. So just hearing them, I like SZA, how she puts her songs together, tells a story. It's just different, you know. And her, I just like her voice. I like, you know, how she writes her music and things like that. So I'm big on if you could sing and if the lyrics sound good, like if it's a good story, you know, then I'm you know, probably will like the song. I think when I think of where hip hop is going, I think especially you got to tie in a lot of the social media. I kind of wish we didn't know so much of their business.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Like, you know, like I really don't want to know so much of their business and what they're putting out, but I think of just a lot of the, you know, image, like when we talked about just the image.
I don't want to know that Cardi B and Offset had a argument Wednesday night. We just rather not.
That's the part I don't like. Like this, you know, everything is out there. Yeah. And there's no mystery, no privacy, no, you know, nothing like that. Everything is dissected and overanalyzed.
True.
Also, you know, I just look at, especially a lot of the women in hip hop, I wish everything wasn't so sexual all the time.
I'm with you.
Because we, like I say, I always think about the kids. Like, when you know, got kids, it's just... all they want to listen to is Sexy Red. And I'm like, why?
I mean, why?
Read the lyrics to me.
Discussion about Sexy Red. Yeah. This
past you can't week. Read the lyrics to me in my class. No, you can't listen to it. Like,
yeah.
But I mean, I just wish it was just more thoughtfulness, more like I think of hip hop, people telling a story, you know, people putting the words together and it, you know, metaphors and things like, and it's, we just got so far away from that. It's just, what is the most shocking thing I could say to get attention right now? And I wish we would move less towards that, less away from that and more towards just get back to just using my music to tell a story and to, you know, speak on things.
The understanding, one thing that I want to see, the understanding of what is and what is not appropriate is something I want to see come into vogue with hip hop. Hopefully, the situation that's going on with Drake and J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar will ignite a fuse where a little bit of more mature, growner type of vibe will run through hip hop. Like back in the 90s when you had the Public Enemies, the Tribe Called Quest, Thus and So, Queen Latifah, and more in the like. I mentioned her name earlier. Her name is Issa Rae.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked pre-show, you said, and I quote, she started from the bottom, put a ton of people on, and truly uses her platform. I know I gave the bulk, but what do you feel about Issa Rae? I want you to just pull on, like, just your emotion. What did she say to you when you saw Insecure or Awkward Black Girl for the first time? What did it say to you from an artistic standpoint, from a Black person standpoint, from a woman's standpoint?
Well, the first thing I noticed that when I was watching Awkward Black Girl, it was just funny. Like, it was funny without it trying to be funny. You know how you got some people that just, they try so hard to be funny, and it was just naturally funny, like, even the smaller things. Like, even when, you know, she pulled up to the stop sign and was rapping and the person was there and she trying not to look like every, and it's relatable because everybody has done that. You like, oh, this is kind of long. I don't want to look over there. And I think that's what drew us in, was like, it was very relatable. And I heard her say, I heard her talk about how when she started Insecure, how they wanted to change the name. And she was like, no, because she said at the time it was like something about, it was during that Black girl magic. And she said, what about if you don't know your magic yet? You know, what if you one of them Black girls that everything ain't working out, or you don't have it all figured out? And I think that's really why people gravitate so much to her content, to her shows, is because it's like, I don't have it figured out. I'm just as messed up sometimes as Issa, you know, or just as confused as Molly, you know. And it's like, just that part of it just being very relatable and very much a story that's like, that could be my story or anybody's story. Like, I think, and then also at the time you had a lot of coming out is all Black stories. You had to grow up in the hood. They sold drugs. They was in the club. You was a former stripper. And that ain't everybody's story. I grew up in the suburbs. You know what I'm saying? I grew up, it wasn't a whole lot. Black people did not move to a city, Memphis, where it was mostly Black people. So it's like, that's my story.
That is so true.
Yeah, so just that, just the relatability, and then also just learning how she just takes care of people. Like, it's not all about her, you know. Yeah, I'm this big time name and things, but I'm gonna bring you on, and you might be an intern, but then on my next show, you might be a writer, and then on that next show, you might be a showrunner. But I'm gonna keep helping you get to that next level. And that's kind of like how I try to do. Like, if I know somebody that's doing something good and I know that I can help them, I'm gonna try to help them, you know, without saying it's gonna dim my light because you shining right now. We can all just make it together. And that's the one thing I like, you know, about, well, a couple things.
Yeah, go ahead. You can tell us. I'm thoroughly enjoying this. It's awesome when you can do interviews with people. I mean, to the point that you just made, it's when you come across good people, I want everybody to know about their good person.
Yeah.
And I'm thoroughly enjoying what you're saying, what you're telling us, because it's remarkable, and it needs to be said. Definitely. Definitely. In just a second, I want to hear more about what coloring does for children. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that, a couple of things. We were just talking about Issa Rae. She has won, or will win, an award for outstanding character voiceover performance in a motion picture. She won that at this year's 2024 NAACP Image Awards. Big shout out to Issa Rae for all the reasons that you just said, and for winning that particular award. Okay. I think in the last week of International Women's History Month, we would be remiss if we did not in some way talk about Beyonce.
Okay.
We just gonna talk about Beyonce just because. Real talk. Beyonce got a new album out, or coming out, called Cowboy Carter. And as I mentioned last week, Beyonce said it's not a country album. It's a Beyonce album. Okay? Put that over there. Okay. Now, Beyonce has what I'm going to call, not a beef, but I think Beyonce has this simmering rivalry. It's like rice in a pot. You know, it's beginning, it's bubbling. It ain't quite, you know, but it's bubbling with Erykah Badu.
Okay.
Badu said, and I agree, but Badu said on her last album, which I think is the Renaissance album, I think, she had the same similar type of hat that Erykah Badu had on or wears. Mm-hmm. That's true, because when I saw it, that's the first person I thought of.
Yeah, me too.
Well, when the artwork from this album came out, she bared a striking resemblance to one Erykah Badu. Now, just tell me what you think about Beyoncé, period. Is she overrated? Is she underrated? Like, what you feel in regard to Beyoncé?
I mean, I don't feel like she's overrated. She's a great entertainer. She puts on a good show. I don't buy her music, but okay. You know, I'm not gonna take anything away from her and just say, oh, I hate Beyoncé because it is. I mean, she do what she's supposed to do. She sells her music, people love it, you know, things like that. I'm not gonna talk bad about her, but you know,
Let me ask you this. I'm gonna just ask you flat out.
I'm not in the beehive, is what I'm trying to say. I'm not in the beehive, but you know, I'm not gonna sit here and just say she's not great. I mean, she's a very good entertainer. She puts on a good show. She's, you know, from what I've seen, okay. She's a very hard worker in her craft. So
let me ask you this flat out. Huh?
I said I can't knock her for that. She, you know.
Oh. Okay, entertaining-wise or entertainment-wise, okay. We're going to talk about flat-out singing when it comes to her, Jennifer Hudson. What's the lady, the chick that's from England, Adele?
Mm-hmm.
Which one? Okay, in regard to them, even we're going to throw in a Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey.
Oh, come on now.
All of them now. In a room, is she average now? Is she in fifth place now?
I mean, Beyonce don't flat out sing. She's not a flat out singer. Who can you compare to Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey?
I mean, nobody.
But like, I think voice wise, you know, she's not a flat out singer like that.
Mm.
Like, I would say this, if you can sing and give me goosebumps when you singing, then I know you're a flat out singer. And I've never had that with Beyonce. But her songs, they sell because she know her lane. You know, it's not going to be the flat out singing. It's going to be the dancing. It's going to be the lyrics. It's going to be, I'm going to change this beat and I'm going to have something different. You know, so.
She stays in her lane, in her vocal lane.
She stays in her lane. And it works. You know,
you're not going to hear her trying to hit a Mariah Carey-esque or Whitney Houston-esque high note. No, you're not. No. She's not going
to
do it.
Like, yeah, you can't really compare to Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey.
The only reason why I even bring up Whitney and Mariah and Jennifer and Adele is because there is a contingent of people, of women, of men, that really think she is an awesome, above average, I would even say great singer. So
you gotta think those people.
I ain't mad at that. I'm just.
You got some people who I don't want to say worship her, but it's like she can't do no wrong, and that's, you know, that's when you come into the issue. Like, you should never have a person that you idolize that much that you feel like nothing they can do is wrong, you know. Yeah. That's just my opinion, but that's so can you really take their opinion if they're not being fair? You know what I'm saying? If they're leaning all the way to this side and not listening to it like objectively and just, you know, really listening, do I really take their opinion?
I mean, I feel you. I'm with you on that.
I don't, because you're gonna, like, look, you're gonna, whatever she do, you're gonna say it's great. So, I mean, that's good for you, but that don't mean it's true.
Okay. I'm with you. It's not even as if I have a differing thought process. I'm not in the beehive either. What I do know, and I've said this for years, I've said this since about 2016, and I said it last week, I want a Beyoncé rap album.
And she likes people say, now.
That's what I want. That's what I want, because the girl can rap.
Yeah.
Real talk. She might not write her lyrics, or if she does, don't, who cares? The girl can rap. She got flow. That's what I want. That's what I want. But that's
that might be the next thing. You never know. Because who would have thought she would put out a country, well, not a, she doesn't say it's country, but a country album. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, that's just, a you know, sometimes I guess when you get to that level, you got to challenge yourself.
Yeah, she's pushing the limits.
Challenge, you know, she's pushing the limits. And I can't, you know, do what you do.
She's being a creative.
Exactly.
Once again, we are here with Crystal Wadlington, illustrator of a series of books. One of is called the Bold Leader series of books. It is a coloring book geared for children ages 3 to 10, early childhood. I hear, and this will be my last question for you, so I really hope you take a kinship to Bo Jackson and knock this one out of the park. I hear there is a development that children get just from coloring. Is this true?
That is absolutely true. It's and that's something that we as parents have kind of gotten away from because we're so quick to put them on the iPad and things. But just the art of them coloring, even if they scribble, learning how to grip that pencil, that's their, you know, they're developing fine motor skills. And when the fine, when you developing those fine motor skills, it's connected to your brain because it's working together. And you got to think about, I know when I was in school, we used to have to take notes. And when you would write stuff down, it's easier to remember.
Yeah.
You know, instead of typing it up. I mean, like the actual art of writing it. So just kids coloring, it helps them develop those fine motor skills to get them ready to start writing. And also it helps with focus. It helps with cognitive skills. It helps with confidence. I mean, you just be surprised. Just kids, like my students, they would rather color than anything. Color or free draw. Like if I try to give them a project, it's like, I just want a free draw because it's developing that brain, that creativity, that expression, you know, things like that. And then when I start with like my kindergartners, when they first come in, that's the first thing we work on is color. And you can kind of tell the kids that really don't use those crayons, they have a hard time controlling it and being able to, you know, get it inside the lines or even control it. But just the development over the school year is just, you know, amazing that you would see. So just, you know, something as simple as a pack of crayons and a coloring book or even just a piece of paper just does a lot for the development of kids that we kind of got away from.
When you say it boosts confidence, I agree.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, all even up until present time, if you have good penmanship, you think you're better than everybody. Like people always say, well, you have chicken scratch or you write too small. But while they overhear, like, you hear me. And it's like, I feel you. I think that does promote confidence. And it's amazing that fine motor skills are developed with drawing, even scribbling, writing as well. I mean, you can use that in sports. Even we were just talking about baseball. You can use that in baseball.
And it's levels to it. Like there's different levels. So at first is the scribbling stage where they do scribble. So that's why I really talk to parents when they're, you know, they come to, you know, when I'm out selling the books and they say, well, I would get it for them, but all they do is scribble. And I'm like, but they're supposed to.
Yeah, they're just strengthening.
The book is not just for them to make it pretty. It's for them to color. And then, in each page, it has a different, you know, has a little biography and for them to learn. So right. It's not just for them to make it pretty. Let them scribble over the paper. It's okay. Because eventually that scribble will turn into drawing, or it will turn into they're able to stand the lines. They're, you know what I'm saying? So you got to start somewhere. And that's why I really, you know, say, you can give this to an infant. Let them scribble in it. It's okay. Mm. Just make sure they don't eat the crayon.
That's
but,
real.
Yeah.
That's real. Crystal, as we let you go for today. First of all, we definitely thank you for your time. I know it's spring break and teachers need more breaks. They need more pay and all these things. So the fact that you gave us an hour out of your spring break, we definitely, for lack of a better phrase, we appreciate it, young lady.
Well, thank you for having me. This was fun.
No problem at all. Where can teachers go to get your books for next February, for the end of this year, for the start of next year, for the summertime, for their time, for my time, for your time? Where can we go to get your books?
You can go to my website at www.crystalthecreative.com. You can order there. If you're a teacher and you would like to order some for your classroom, I would suggest you order there. I do wholesale and bulk orders. So the more you order, the more discounts you get. Or you can go to Amazon. They are on Amazon if you want to use your Amazon Prime. However, you cannot do bulk ordering and get the discount on Amazon Prime. So you can either go to Amazon or you can go to my website, www.crystalthecreative.com.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Once again, I thank you for helping us to close out Women's History Month. I have never met you, Chris, but to hear a dear friend of mine, how he talks about you.
Oh.
You my sister. You my sister. And it's a pleasure for me to do this. In short, keep on doing what you're doing. And we're definitely going to support Crystal the Creative's vision and the Bold Leaders series, the Black History series, African Kings and Queens series, Harlem Renaissance series, and the STEM series of coloring books that you have for our young people.
Thank you. Thank you.
No problem, Crystal. You have a great rest of your day. A happy spring break. All right.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
From Teddy P to Tupac, from Cameo to Kool Moe Dee, we about to take it back.
For eternity, you must have lost your way to heaven. inside my heart. Boy, you're like a star.
I feel so calm.
Shining like a diamond out in space. Something like my father, my brother, my lover.
Irreplaceable.
Is trying to teach our people the difference between an actual fact and an opinion. Our people think that they can accept or reject truth based on how they feel about it. Your feelings don't change the truth. The truth is just going to be there. You can feel any kind of way you want to feel about it. Those are just, those kind of emotions have kept us from growing, because anything we don't like, we just reject that and say, well, I don't believe that. That don't mean that it's not the truth. It just makes you a disbeliever.
Surround Sound Podcast, news for the hip-hop generation.
All right, that was Crystal the Creative, a.k.a. Crystal Waddlington. She is an amazing talent. She has developed history books for early childhood education. I mean, like she said earlier, she's brung about the likes of Marcus Garvey, Shirley Chisholm, Fannie Lou Hamer, Ida B. Wells. I'm talking about who's who of Black history. That is truly, truly awesome. Make sure you go and Google her, Crystal the Creative, and you'll find her on all social media. You also be able to see different some of her different works, so you'll be able to get these things for your children and your loved ones. Now it's time for the sign of the times. And the title is Historical Importance. One thing that this weekend taught me is history repeats itself. There's no way around it. Your best bet is to learn from it. Since the beginning of 2024, I've watched a countless amount of documentaries. They all said similar things. And it reminded me of a Bible verse, Ecclesiastes 1:9. What has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. You know, years and years and years later, the great and legendary Nas remixed that verse. He said, there's nothing new under the sun. It ain't how you're doing it, it's how it's done. and that's cool, to remix history and historical passages from time to time. It's okay to say it in such a way where the generation that is present understands it just a little bit better, or hit homes or resonates just a little bit more. But changing history is another story. I read something where they're saying that the Bible is going to be reinterpreted and redistributed. I know that there are different versions of the Bible, and when you get to those certain versions of the Bible, certain passages have completely different meanings than some of the older Bibles. We'll leave that right there, though. Getting back to the documentaries, once again, there's nothing new under the sun. I saw the Wilt Chamberlain doc. And to be honest, LeBron James is just the reinvented version of Wilt Chamberlain when it comes to scoring, when it comes to player mobility, when it comes to being an advocate for those players. LeBron James is just the new Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, let's go with NFL-wise. As we talked about earlier, the NFL has and currently is adapting rules from now defunct football leagues, most notably the USFL and the XFL. And then, going back to docs, Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson, and Rick James. Those docs gave me insight on the dangers of substance abuse. I only said those three examples to give the age-old adage: those that do not learn from history are certainly doomed to repeat it. For everyone here at the Surround Sound Podcast, thank you for tuning in to this week's show. Next week, we have boxing owner of Punches and Bunches, Mr. Tremaine Cook. He'll be on the show. We'll be talking about Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, Anthony Joshua, and a few more others. In the words of the scholar Jerry Springer, be good to yourself and each other.
The way the brother walks is beautiful. The way he talks is beautiful. The way he makes love to me is beautiful. You know, that's my man.